Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We'll be continuing our series, Love is the Key, this morning. And we're going to be talking about loving with our words. You know, words can do one of two things. They can either hurt or heal. Words in the Christian's life are very important. I want you to listen to this little story I have for you this morning. It was his first day on the job. He was a new clerk in the green goods department of a supermarket. A lady came up to him and said she wanted to buy a half a head of lettuce. He tried to dissuade her from that goal, but she persisted. Finally, he said, "I'll have to go to the back and talk to the manager and see if this is possible to split a head of lettuce and give you half of that." He went to the rear of the store to talk to the manager, not noticing the woman was walking right behind him. When he got in the back of the store, he said to the manager, "There's some stupid old bag out there who wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. What should I tell her?" Seeing the horrific look on the face of the manager, he turned about, and seeing the woman, he added this, "And this nice lady behind me wants to buy the other half of that head of lettuce." Later in the day, he congratulated the boy of his quick thinking. He then asked, "Where are you from, son?" Now notice this. The boy said, "I'm from Toronto, Canada, a home of beautiful hockey players and very ugly women." The manager looked at him and said, "My wife is from Toronto." The boy said, "Oh, what team does she play for?" There again, he thought very quickly. One of the most important ways that we learn to love God is to love other people with our words. That is very important. This man was a quick thinker. But I don't know if any of us would have been to that quick of thinking. Especially if we'd said something and not known the woman was behind us or the man was behind us. I'm not sure we could all think that quick, but this man was very quick. The Bible has a lot to say about our words. If you haven't studied it before, I have a feeling it has a lot more to say about it than you would probably think. Today in our message entitled, Loving with Our Words, we want to break down this topic into three categories that I think will help us all get a better grip on how important the words we use really are. In Matthew chapter 12, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 34 through 37. Jesus says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account therefore in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given me this morning to bring. And we pray, Father, that it would go out in a way that it is very understandable, that people might understand that how important the words we say really are. The words we use out in public, not in church necessarily, but out in the world, our words are so vital to bring those into the kingdom. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless this message, that you would use it for your honor and your glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we go into the Word of God, I want you to notice very importantly what Jesus says in verse 36. "For I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Do you realize that every idle word, not necessarily the words you use when you're in public, but every idle word you speak, whether it's in private, whether it's to a mate, whether it's to your wife or your husband, whether it's to anyone, every word we speak is going to be judged by God. Every word we speak. Now, I want you to look first the power of my words. Whether you realize it or not, your words have tremendous power. Consider the following three things before you open your mouth. My words produce either death or life. Think of that. They can produce either hurt or healing. Death or life. Open your Bibles this morning. Look in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Solomon here, the wisest man to ever live on the earth besides Jesus Christ, wrote these words for our learning. And they have a very important lesson in them. What does he say? Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Notice what he says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can either hurt or heal. You can either destroy or build up. You can either hurt people or help people. This is very important. We understand what Solomon is trying to teach us. You can take this literally or figuratively because both are true. A judge can sentence a person to death, or he can speak words of hate that cause a type of death to someone's well-being. Sometimes it's a word spoken in anger or a thoughtless remark that causes the most harm to those who should be showing love. But on the other hand, our words can be words of life, words of encouragement, words of truth, words that build people up, words that uplift, words that build on a person's self-worth, and most importantly, their worth to God. Our words are very important. They can either hate or they can heal. They can either destroy or build up. Our words are very important. Secondly, my words reveal the condition of my heart. Open your Bibles, go back to Matthew chapter 12. Let's look in verse 34 and 35 again. Jesus says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Think about what Jesus is saying here. He is saying here, my words are a clear picture of who I am inside. Our words come from the heart. Our words are vital to either build people up or tear them down. Our words are so very important that we use those words as we speak to people, as words of encouragement, not of words that destroy. It is very important we use those words as Jesus speaks here. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. In other words, if your heart is pure, if your heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, if your heart is good, out of your mouth will come good things. It'll come words of encouragement, words of hope, words of healing. But if your heart is evil, if your heart is full of evil thoughts, if your heart is full of evil things, words will come out that will destroy. If my words are evil, then I have an evil heart. And if they are good, I have a good heart. What a great tool for self-examination and reflection. At the end of the day, try to write down which words were spoken to uplift and which words were spoken to tear people down. Think about your day as you end your day. How did you speak to people today? How did you give them your words? How did you deliver your words? Were they words to build them up, or were they words to tear them down? Did you talk to people in a kind manner, or did you talk to them in an evil manner? Did you talk to them with words that gonna build them up, or words that gonna tear them down? This is very important. We realize that our words are so very important. Don't focus on the words others speak to you, but rather the words that you speak to others. Thirdly, my words will serve as evidence at the judgment. Jesus gives us a very sobering truth in Matthew 12, 36 and 37. He says this, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account therefore in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." These words that we speak, no matter what they are intent, should always be words of encouragement. Don't ever go out and try to tear some down. Think about what you say before you say it. That's the problem most of us have. We say things before we think about what we say. Our mouth is always quicker than our brain. We don't think about what we're going to say. And many times our speech does not relate to what our heart is really like. We must learn to control our words. Speak words of life, encouragement, instruction, joy, and faith. Secondly, I want you to look at the perversion of my words. Let's take a few moments to discover why we are bent towards using words not of love, but of hate and wickedness. My words are naturally sinful. It is a part of the sinful nature that we want to eradicate. James chapter 3. If you turn your Bibles there this morning, James chapter 3, because James gives us some instructions on our words. We're going to spend just a little time there. James chapter 3, because that whole chapter is about our words, is about the power of our words, is about the sinful nature of our words. Listen, you are intent, your body is intent, and your body was made as a sinful thing. And out of the heart comes sinful things. If you don't read your Word of God, if you don't hide it in your heart, if you don't have it in your mind, because the body is a sinful thing. This carnal nature that lives inside of is sinful. We can't change that. We were born with it. So, James chapter 3, what does James say? Look in verse 6. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on a fire of hell." Strong words from James to describe the severity of our problem. When we realize that it comes natural to use words of harm, it helps us to both recognize our problem and helps us to find a solution to that problem. When we recognize that we are sinful, when we recognize that our tongue is on fire of hell, when we recognize our tongue naturally wants to speak words that hurt, that's when we can better adjust our speech and think about what we're going to say. That's why I said earlier, think about what you say before you say it. Because if we'll think about what we say and repeat it in our mind before we say it, we might have a different speech. Because we might realize that we're speaking words to tear someone down instead of words to encourage them. It's always good to realize that we're sinful people. When we realize that, we will be able to change that. My words are naturally uncontrollable. Look in James chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Think about what James says. The tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. No one can completely control their tongue. That is, while they are still bound to the sinful nature. But the good news for us is that in Christ, we can overcome those urges to speak words that hurt. Thirdly, my words are naturally hypocritical. I say one thing and do something else. I say I love, and then I say I hate. I say I worship God, yet put down my fellow Christian. I've seen that in church after church after church. People will say good things, and then I'll turn around and go tell something to somebody that they just talked to, and they'll tear them down. Listen, we need to use words of encouragement. I asked the church one time, I said, how many of you have preacher for lunch when you go home? That's talking about your pastor. How many of you talk about the message? How many of you talk about how he delivered it? How many of you talk about his words? How many of you talk about every time he makes a mistake? How many of you talk about that in your own life? Listen, my words are naturally hypocritical. James chapter 3, look in verse 9 and 10. Therewith, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. James says, it shouldn't be that way. Your mouth and your words should always be words of blessings. He says, the words that come out of your mouth are both words of cursing and words of blessing. But he says, these things should not be. Our words should always be words of lifting up, words of encouragement, words that build people up. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here because I think most of us realize that this is obvious, that our words oftentimes hurt. But also because I want to give the next point and end on a positive note. Thirdly, I want you to look at the potential of my words. What can our words really do? Your words have very powerful potential if you're a Christian. You have seen how they can be destructive, and you have seen how they can be a blessing. We want to talk about how our words can be a blessing. You've been empowered to leave behind the natural words from your sinful nature and speak words that will truly demonstrate your love for God and others. Once you become a child of God, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. If that's true, our critical words, our words that were sinful, should be transformed into words that are encouraging, words that build people up, words that help people. Because once you become a child of God, you have a new nature. I can ask God for salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the first and most important step in the use of our words. We use our mouths to confess that Jesus is Lord, not only of his creation, but of our own individual lives. Listen, when we become a Christian, when we ask Jesus to come into our heart, our lives should be totally different. Our words should be words of encouragement, words to build people up, words to make them feel good, words to lead them to salvation. We, as Christians, should understand that our words are very important. Secondly, I can pray to Almighty God. I can use my tongue and pray and ask God to help me use my words of love and kindness to others. I can use my tongue to let God know that I love him. I can use my tongue to have conversations with God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says this, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Our words that we can use to pray to God. Our words are words we can use to get closer to God, to feel closer to God, to have God's Spirit living inside of us. Our words can be words that we lift up our prayers to God and ask him to guide us, to teach us, to show us the right way to live. Our words are words that we can pray to God and beg God to change us and mold us and make us the right kind of person in this life. Our words are so very vital to our worship of God. Thirdly, I can worship God with my words. Psalms 150 verse 6 says this, "Let everything that hath praise, hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15 says this, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Listen, we can use our words to worship God. We use our words to pray to God. We use our words to communicate with God. But we can use our words to worship God. Yes. Praise him with your words. Lift up your voices and praise him, for he is worthy. Lift up your words to praise God, for he is so worthy of our praise. Listen, where are you today? We are here to offer praise to our God. That's why we come into this house. That's why we come to this church, to praise Almighty God, to praise him for what he's done, to praise him for what he's going to do, to praise him for all of our family, to praise him for our friends, to praise him that he lives inside of us and he is always with us. Amen. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Listen, we can never praise God enough. Doesn't matter how much we praise God, we can never praise him enough for what he did on Calvary. Amen. We can never praise him enough for what he did for us as he went to the cross. Listen, my friend, we need to praise God. We're here to sing to him, to pray to him, to speak his word in the presence of the whole congregation. We come to worship God, and such a vital part of our worship comes from the way that we use the gift of speech in each other's presence. Our words are so vital. Our words say who we are. Our words reflect what kind of heart we have. Our words are so vital that we use them to lift up God. Fourthly, we can use our words to share the gospel. What better possible way can I use my tongue to show my love for God and for others than to use it to spread the message of the gospel? Listen to how the early church used their words. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, we see that these people used their words so that they could reach people. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Daily in the temple, they ceased not to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Daily, they lifted God up. Daily, they talked to God. Now turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want to show you a passage of scripture there. The Apostle Paul is speaking. I want you to show you something. Romans chapter 1, look in verse 15 and 16. Romans chapter 1. So as much as is in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. He's not ashamed to use his words to reach people for Jesus. He's not ashamed to use words of encouragement to lead people to the throne of grace. He's not ashamed to use his words to lead them to everlasting life. He's not ashamed to use his words to help people find Jesus. Listen, my friend, Paul was a man that lived his life after he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was a man that devoted himself to the gospel completely. He was a man that did all he could to bring others to Christ. He was a man that did all he could to encourage people, to teach people the gospel message. Paul was a man that dedicated his life to the furtherance of the gospel. Do you see how this is very opposite of who we are before we become a Christian? Before we used words to judge and condemn people, put others down, but now in Christ, we use our speech to give others the greatest news that has ever been. We use our mouths to explain to others that they need to come under condemnation, but instead can experience the salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. Before we were saved, we used words of condemnation. We used words to tear people down. We used words to condemn them. But since we've been saved, our lives should have been totally changed. We should use our words now to lift people up, to encourage them, to help them find saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help lead them to the throne of grace. Help lead them to salvation. Help lead them to a closeness with God who cares for them and wants them to be saved. Use your words to encourage them that God is a God of love, and God wants to save them from the pit of hell and bring them in a consideration to help them find Jesus Christ. Listen, fifthly, I can encourage other people with my words. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 says this, "The Lord God hath given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as learned. Isaiah realized that it was God that controlled his tongue. He realized it was God that gave him the ability to speak to the weak, to speak to the needy, to speak to those that were hurting. Isaiah realized that without God, he could not do this. God has specifically given us the ability to lift others up. This is one of the greatest ways you can show love in the way that you speak. Spend time encouraging others in this life. We live in a world that is often bleak and discouraging. Why not be a beacon in the night to those in need of being lifted up? The world is all about tearing people down. If you watch any part of the news, it's always dreadful news. It's always condemning news. It's always bad news. Jesus is about bringing good news. The good news of salvation. The good news, and that's what we should do. We should be his ambassadors, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ, telling people that God loves them, telling people that God wants to have a relationship with them, telling them that God wants to find them in his grace. Listen, we can use our words to teach our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find a very important passage about children and how we can teach our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look in verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What a more productive and loving thing can we do with our words than to pass them down wisdom to our children? And come to think of it, what types of words are our kids learning coming out of our mouth? What kind of words are our kids learning in our homes? What kind of words are our kids learning? Let me tell you, as I go into homes and do little jobs for people, I find that their parents are not talking to their kids, lifting them up. They're using curse words. They're using words to tear them down. They're using words to belittle them. Listen, my friends, we need to speak words of life to our kids. Speak words of encouragement to our kids. Speak words that will build them up instead of tear them down. Listen, are your words from the natural man like we looked at earlier? Are they words filled with grace, love, and the wisdom of God? The words that you speak to your children and in your children's presence will have more impact on them than we can ever even possibly know. Our words are vital. Listen, our words that we speak to our children and our grandchildren, our words that we speak to our relatives, they have great power. Seventhly, our words can be used to bless others. Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6. Go over to Numbers chapter 6 in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 6, and I want you to look at about five verses there, starting in verse 22. Numbers chapter 6, look in verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Notice what he told, Moses told the people in Numbers chapter 6. The Lord, as he was speaking to Moses, told Moses this: speak to your children, speak on this wise, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying this: on this wise ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord will bless you, the Lord will keep you, the Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. What? Why did the Lord speak to Moses to tell Aaron to speak these words? Because God wanted the children of Israel to know that he was with them. He would take care of them, he would bless them, and he would make sure they could complete their journey through to the promised land. God wanted the children of Israel to know. He wanted them to know how important it was that they realized that God would shine his face upon them, and that he would be gracious to them, and that he would give them peace, and they would be his chosen people. Do our words bring blessings or cursings? Do we lift others up or do we bring them down? When someone walks away from a conversation with us, do they feel better or do they feel worse? Think about that. When someone walks away from a conversation with you, do they feel better or do they feel worse? Are your words of encouragement, words to lift people up? Are your words that tear people down? Our words can either encourage or discourage. I think our words should be like Paul's to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. This is what Paul said: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. He wanted the church at Corinth to know that he wanted more than anything that the love of God be in that church, that the love of God would shatter them and shower them with his love and his mercy. Paul wanted the church at Corinth to know that he prayed for them daily. In conclusion, as we close today, I have some words I'd like to share with you. God loves you no matter what you've done and what you've been involved with. He still loves you. God sent his son to die for you. Jesus died to pay the penalty of your sin that you and I deserve, because he, like his father, loved you so very much. God wants to bless your life by offering you the gift of spending eternity with him, of having all of your sin and guilt removed, and knowing that one day your destiny will be in heaven. God wants to make you all that you can be here on earth so that you can bless others and help bring more and more people into God's family. Those are uplifting words, words of life, words of truth. They are words that we need to take to heart today as we leave this place. God loves you, and you can't change that. God loves you unconditional, and there's nothing you can do about it. God loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants you to share that love with everybody around you. He wants you to share that love of God so that you might win them to the Savior. Listen, they are words that help build us up, and they are words that will lift us far beyond what we could ever imagine. So far, I want you to think about this. So far, we've looked at words that can hurt and words that can heal. We've looked at how our words can be destructive or how they can be encouraging. We've looked at this because I want to tell you something very important. I want to tell you, and I want you to remember this, Jesus never spoke words that tore people down. He spoke words of encouragement. Now, I know what some people will say. Some people will say, well, he called the Pharisees and the Sadducees hypocrites. Well, those were still words of encouragement. He was getting them to change their ways. He was trying to encourage them to change and be better men. Jesus was a man that always was about encouraging people, always lifting them up, and always making them feel special. What are your words like today? What kind of words do you use out in the world today? Are your words of encouragement? Are they words that tear people down? Think about that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given me this morning to bring. We pray, Father, that I've delivered in a way that would help people in the walk with Jesus, that they may understand the words can be destructive or the words can help. The words can destroy, their words can heal. Father, help us be the type of people that use our words to lift people up, that help encourage them and lead them to the throne of grace. Help us to be that kind of people that always look to you for kindness, for the things we need to say to help people in their relationship with you. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.